Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.
Awesome here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of NAFCU's annual conference, aptly named Engage, here in beautiful Long Beach, California. Look who we have in the studio lounge, Mr. James Robert Lay, the man with three names.
Yes.
From Digital Growth Institute. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. And first time we're getting to share time in Engage.
Yes.
In real life.
Exactly. We've been interviewing each other for years, at least like 10 years now. But this is the first time we've done it in person.
At least, yes.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
So schedule synced.
That's good.
Yes.
About time.
It is.
About time.
It is.
So how are you before we dive into your talk here?
I'm fantastic. I just got back from a nice run down the beach.
Yes, which is right outside the door there.
And coming from hot and humid Houston during the summer, it was a welcome reprieve. So I might do it again in the morning.
Okay. Maybe I'll see you there.
Yes.
Yeah, it's nice in the morning because it'll have the overcast. It'll be nice and cool.
Exactly.
Great running weather.
Yes.
On the beach.
Very
for
much
sure,
so.
For sure.
Yep.
So what brings you to NAFCU's annual conference? I see that you're speaking tomorrow.
I am. General session. And really looking at some of the shifts in consumer behavior, but through a different lens. Because I think we have to really understand where we've been to gain clarity into where we are now.
Okay.
And then also be able to make some projections going forward into the future.
Gotcha. And we got the food patrol going on right behind us. So
I'll have to grab me a bite.
You might. Yeah. So share with me. Okay, you're talking tomorrow, and the topic is consumer behavioral shift in today's unique market. So I want to hear, share with us, give us a quick overview, and then we'll dive into a couple of takeaways. But we don't want to steal all your thunder.
No.
Leave something for the audience.
No. I think the thing is we're going to start by going back in time.
Okay.
We're going to get into the DeLoreans of our mind. And we're going to go back to 1994. Because that's an inflection point in human history within, you know, really the last 30 years. Because you think 94 to 2024, it's a 30-year time period.
Right.
And 94 was when the internet reached the mass consciousness of humanity. And if we go back to 94 and project out to 2009, just 15 years, we can see some major shifts in consumer behavior at a macro level.
Okay.
And then how those macro changes impact us within the credit union.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it all started in 1994.
It was building up to then. I mean, you know, you look at some shifts in consumer behavior and financial services, but what happened in 94 was an acceleration. 94, Bezos launches Amazon July 5th out of his garage. He transforms the way that we shop.
Yeah.
You and I, we both have kids. My wife literally runs shipping and receiving at the house. We get packages in, they go out. If you thought, you know, the idea of online shopping, you didn't even know what that was in 94.
No, not at all.
You'd go to the mall.
Right. You have to get in your car and go somewhere to get something.
May 18th, 1995, Wells Fargo launches the first online banking platform. Transforms the way that we bank forever.
Yep.
And then it wasn't until about 2011, mobile banking finally, true mobile app banking rolls along. But then something happened. November 30th, 2022. Another massive inflection point when we're looking at consumer behavior shifts, and that was the launch of ChatGPT. So now AI comes and enters into the mass consciousness of humanity, but the difference between 94 and 2022, the internet and now AI, is there's this exponential curve of change that we as human beings were linear thinkers. And so when technology is doing this, and we are doing this, it's creating a gap.
Right.
That gap is where we feel confused, that gap is where we have conflict, that gap, if we stay in it, it's where the chaos comes. And so we need to get perspective into what's happening at a macro level once again in regards to some of these consumer behavior shifts so that we can do two things. Number one, take care of our people internally, so the employee experience. And then number two, once we take care of our people, And make sure that they feel, you know, safe and secure, particularly in this age of AI, where there's a lot of disruption, then we need to take care of our members.
Okay.
And because they're feeling a lot of confusion. They're feeling a lot of complexity right now. I mean, you know, money is an emotional subject, and anything that we can do to put their hearts and their minds at ease, to give them help and hope, we have the capability to do that now at an exponential scale, but the only way that we're going to be able to achieve that is if we continuously shift our mindset to unlearn what we have learned.
Basically. Well, when you're talking ChatGPT, that's a massive mindset shift, because I think there's still a lot. You talked about confusion earlier.
Right.
I think there's a ton of confusion out there about ChatGPT. Maybe not the audience that's really into it, but there's a massive audience that is like, what is this all about?
It's fascinating. With some recent keynotes I've done over the last month, I'm polling the audience, and it's very informal, but I ask, how many have not played with ChatGPT? And around 30%.
Really?
Yes. And then we get into the why, and some of it's that confusion, it's that complexity.
Yeah.
I don't want to learn something new.
Or I'm freaking scared of it.
Well, yeah. And
I'm a little bit fearful of it.
Well, why? Like, where's your, and I'm looking at this very objectively. What's your trepidation into AI, ChatGPT?
I'm scared of doing something. What was that movie with Matthew Broderick way back? War Games.
You're taking us back. Yes.
Talk about the Wayback Machine.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking something like that.
Yeah.
That's my fear. It's like, oh gosh, I'm going to set off something that's going to be irreversible.
You know, this is where I think there's a major opportunity to bring Socratic wisdom into this age of AI. Socrates defined knowledge as to know that I know nothing. And that's one of the things that I'm finding we as leaders have to do. It's almost like we have to unlearn what we have learned. That's a Yodaism. You must unlearn what you have learned. Thank you. But and that's a very hard thing to do, particularly when you've been in this industry for 20, 30, 40 years. And if the internet wasn't a massive enough transformation of consumer behavior, this whole AI thing is going to be really at an exponential scale. And so I, you know, ask, what's the most important technology for us to learn, for us to master in this age of AI? Some people say, well, it's artificial intelligence. You're asking a rhetorical question. I said, no. What about data, analytics, automation?
Yeah.
No. The most important technology to master in the age of AI is this thing right here. How we react or how we respond to change.
Yeah, right. Because I remember, let's go back in the Wayback Machine. I remember working at Scimitar back in the mid to late 90s, and we started out internet home banking. Oh my gosh. And we were all saying, well, who's going to do that? Who's going to manage their finances online, much less on their mobile? Who's going to do that?
Because what was a mobile phone?
It wasn't anything bad.
Yeah, exactly.
It was nothing.
That wasn't until 2007 that you saw that really exponential curve when Jobs launched the iPhone.
Exactly. But it was like, but you're talking about relearning something or changing your mindset. We really had to change your mindset on banking at that time. You really had to like look at it from a whole new world, as Ariel and the Little Mermaid said.
You know, and here's the thing. I think about, you know, in AI, we as humans, we are horrible data processors. AI has us beat, hands down. I'm finding I'm having to literally reprogram my own mind. I'm having to reprogram my habits. And what are habits? They're behaviors and actions that we repeat, typically 95% of the time, at an unconscious, subconscious level. But what's informing that? A lot of it is our feelings and our emotions. That is influenced by our thinking patterns. And then if you think, well, what about thinking patterns? We have about 60,000 thoughts per day. I want to say it's like 90 some odd percent of those are repetitive. And so really go even to the deeper meaning behind all of this, it's our belief. And that is where I find the biggest transformation opportunity is unlocking the human potential, or unlocking human transformation to achieve internally digital transformation, but then externally financial transformation for members.
Yeah, exactly. And so what's the big message that you want to convey to the audience, this credit union audience where financial services is changing massively right before our eyes and their eyes? What's the big message there?
It comes down to the human experience.
Okay.
And what I mean by that, if we're looking at continued trends and patterns of changing consumer behavior, we still have to get close to people. We still need to ask them how they want to grow as an employee. We still need to ask them how they want to grow as a member.
Right.
What are their
right.
goals?
Right.
What are their roadblocks? And what are their opportunities?
Yeah.
And that's a conversation.
Is it getting back to the whole digital thing? Physical and digital? Finding that sweet spot?
I don't know. Not necessarily. Because if you think about our relationship over the last decade plus, it's been built digital.
Yes, it has. You're right.
The very first thing that I did when I saw you, and I'm not a huggy guy, I came up and I gave you a hug.
You did. Thank you for that.
And my wife will tell you I'm not a huggy guy, but it's like I felt like, dude, like, man, it's so good to see you in the flesh. So I don't know about the whole like physical digital, because relationships can still be formed and nurtured and managed in the digital world. But then I do think it's important that we create space and time, like at Engage, to make these in-person human connections, but then nurture them as we go. The same is true for members. The same is true for internal teams. I think the key is intentionality. And the most, I would say the greatest present that we can gift others, particularly in this digital world, is to be present in the present moment.
Okay. Yeah, because that, I mean, well, how hard is that to do? Especially in a digital world. We all learned how wonderful Zoom is, but how challenging it was at the same time.
Absolutely.
So there was...
It comes back to mastering this.
Yeah.
Because you think, you know, these devices here, they ding and then they buzz and then they pull us out of this, and that's what's the thing. Let me turn this off so that it does not interrupt us.
Right.
It doesn't take from this conversation. And it's intentionality, and it's coming back to the human experience. That's the most important, because the human experience is the bridge, if you will, between the employee experience and the digital or the member experience. The human experience bridges the best of both worlds, regardless of if it's in the physical world or if it's in the digital world.
All right, give me one or two takeaways from your talk tomorrow that your audience will take back to their credit union.
Well, the I'd say the big one is having that conversation intentionally at least once every 90 days. How do you want to grow? Goals, roadblocks, opportunities. It's so critically important, particularly starting with the employee experience, that we understand what their goals are. When I work with credit unions, they often don't know what their team's goals are, personally and or professional goals. They might have that conversation once a year, but we forget about that. The follow-up to that is, well, what are the roadblocks that stand in the way? The mind loves solving problems. And how many times do we do these goal-setting exercises, New Year's resolutions, for example, and then we forget about them, and by January we go on back to the previous behavior. But when we really start to set intentional roadblocks or identifying roadblocks, that unlocks the opportunity.
Because
the mind wants to solve a problem. The mind can't ignore a question. So once again, ancient Stoic wisdom from Marcus Aurelius, the obstacle, if you will, becomes the way. And so I'd say that's one, having that conversation both internally and externally every 90 days with people, how we facilitate that.
Yeah.
It could be physical, it could be digital. And then the other one is really important, and being very mindful of what has actually been going well for us as an individual, as a team, as an organization, and having that conversation at least once a quarter, and once again, WELL is an acronym, where have we been winning, what are we excited about, so a little past and present, what have we learned, bringing that, and then once again, most importantly, what are we looking forward to?
Okay.
Because as leaders specifically, but even as marketers, as sales, as lenders, as boards of directors, how we perceive the future is going to be how we operate and think and make decisions in the present moment. And if the future feels confusing or scary, we're going to operate one way. But if the future feels exciting and bigger and better, we're going to operate a different way. And once again, the mind being, if you will, somewhat of a biological computer, we can be very intentional with our thoughts that influence our actions, that repeated over time become our behaviors and our habits. And I was having this conversation with a CEO earlier this afternoon, and she was like, I said, we opened up the conversation, what's been going well? What's good for you? She goes, you know, I don't know. It's like, this has been a, if I look back over, you know, the last 30 years of being at this credit union, this is either the most challenging, the second most challenging period of time.
Really?
And I said, tell me about that. And she was talking about COVID, and we went from COVID to the economy, and now we got this whole AI thing, and she says, I'm overwhelmed. I said, well, that's why it's important to just tell me one good thing. Because the mind can only hold a positive or a negative thought. And if our internal teams feel overwhelmed and confused with all of this change and transformation over the last three and a half years, and yeah, everyone's exhausted, we can transform that narrative and focus on wins, mm-hmm. what's exciting, what we've learned, and what we're looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
And the same is true for members. Imagine if every member conversation that we have, what's been good?
Yeah.
What's going well? And you open up a meeting like that, you'll transform your meetings. I mean, there's so many small little practical things that you can do with these two questions. How do you want to grow, and what's been going well? You really unlock human potential in the age of AI.
Yeah, it sounds like you're flipping the script there.
Yeah.
Big time. Big time, because what you just explained, I see so much opportunity.
Very much so.
Even though it's overwhelming, man, you just kind of pick out one, two things and then focus on that. Then pick out another one or two things, focus on that. Man, just keep that.
The most important technology is right here.
Yeah.
It really is.
Oh my gosh, dude, I could talk to you all day long. Such good stuff. I'm so happy for your success.
Thank you.
You've done such amazing things, not only for yourself and your family, but for this industry as well. You have come a long way, sir, and I'm very excited for you and happy for you.
Think about change and transformation. I mean, go back to some of our...
You're a great example of it.
...earliest conversations, mm-hmm. and I don't know why. I mean, you know, this is something that we're trying to start to quantify. There's a metric called AQ.
Mm-hmm.
It's adaptability quotient. You can measure it. It's like EQ. You can measure EQ. You can measure IQ.
Yeah.
But AQ is something that I think we really need to start exploring, because we're gonna have to let go of what we know to grow. We're gonna have to, and it's not a morbid. One of my favorite sayings, once again, rooted in Stoic philosophy, is memento mori, which means to remember your death.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna have to continuously die, if you will, to ourselves, to create space for new growth at a much faster pace.
Yeah.
And I get it. That's very hard. That's very challenging.
Yeah.
But when you're continuously asking, how do you wanna grow and what's been going well, that's one of the best ways to do it.
Yeah, especially for an industry that's really, cranes are conservative.
Very much so.
They're very conservative. But, you know, to really change and adapt into these times can be challenging for I don't want to say a few of those cranes out there, for a lot of them, for sure.
And it comes down to one thing. It's money is stressful, and that stress is taking a toll on people and their families and the relationships that they have. And there's an opportunity to continue to guide people beyond that stress towards a bigger, better, brighter future.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff, sir. Yeah. Anything else to add? Final thoughts to wrap up?
We could have this conversation for a long time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, sir. Well done.
Thanks for having me, James Robert Lay,
Digital Growth Institute. The man, the myth, the legend. Thank you so much for hanging out.
Thank you.
Well done.
Quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.